Alana's not here tonight. She is attending a special function. Lesbian Professionals Association. Something like that. I'm not actually sure if that's the precise name, but it's some kind of rather she soiree, and she's going to schmooze with these execudikes and perhaps get some support for diversity, which I'm sure Alana has been talking about the past month. They're doing their fundraising thing, and they're going to where potential sponsors are. So she's busy doing that right now as we speak. Later on in the show, well, actually, let me backtrack here. I've got a couple of announcements, and this relates to diversity. Tomorrow night, there is something called Le Boudoir, and it is a diversity presentation. It's a sapphic soiree, and it is primarily for women, although it seems that gentlemen may come if they are escorted by women or a woman. It is to raise money for the Diversité Du in August, and it takes place tomorrow, the 31st of May, at 8 o'clock at the Lion d'Or. That's at 1676 Ontario East. Le Boudoir is going to be a cabaret. So there's a number of performances starting at 9 o'clock. Rants and Raves by Toronto performer Christy Cameron, and she will be on the show, in about 20 minutes. Miriam from Studio 303 will be interviewing Christy. So we've got a guest interviewer. And Bink Dalyrue sings the blues. Bink as well is going to be on the show with Miriam and Christy, so that'll be happening in about 20 minutes. Raconteur de Stéphanie, I suppose that's some kind of storytelling thing. Tango by Muriel Pinchot and Liliana Kleiner. Performance by Jerry Gradour. That could be anything. And Montreal rap artist Andrea Clark as well. Nairn Holtz launches Pornoramba number 2. We had Nairn on the show 2 months ago or something at the launch of Pornorama 1, which is her zine. Chocolate Cunts by Joelle Chiona. I really don't know what that could be. I suppose maybe it's something to eat. Hors d'oeuvres, aphrodisiac, there's a boot shining, and a kissing booth. So, there you go. It sounds like a pretty fun evening. There's door prizes. The cost is $7, $5 for women who are underemployed. So that's tomorrow night at the Lion d'Or, 1676 Ontario East. What metro would that be? Let's see. You could probably get off at the Beaudry Metro and walk up to Ontario. Or Papineau. Papineau Metro and walk up to Ontario. That's Trace giving me the sort of direction. Or you could take the bus. Ontario Street Bus East. Another little announcement I've got here is Lesbo Moaned 3. Now, these are roving dyke partiers, I understand, and they have, once a month, they put on a party somewhere, and this time it's Dykerama in the Sky. That's this coming Sunday, the 5th of June, at 10 o'clock. Happy hour is from 10 to midnight, and sky busts are being served during the evening. I have no idea what a sky bust is, so I suppose you'd have to go to find out. The entrance is $2. And that's it. Sky, 1474 St. Catherine Street East. We're going to go to some music, and then I'll be back. I've got a little bit of a, well, what should we call it? A monologue, I suppose. Sketches of Vancouver. So I'll come back with that. And this is some music. I don't know what it is, though.
It's Bjork.
Oh, yeah.
From Debut. It's called Human Behavior.
Isn't it Bjork?
It probably is that.
Okay, Bjork. Okay, we're back. Dykes on Mike, CKUT 90.3 FM. It's just about 7:15, and, all right, as I said in the introduction, I was sitting there on the beach there in English Bay thinking to myself, well, I should do a little sketches of Vancouver when I get back. And I thought of this primarily because, well, there is a lot of talk, I suppose, in Montreal, you know, just about people leaving. People are leaving. People are also coming. This is what I like to stress sometimes. When people go on too much about the fact that everybody's leaving, I also suggest that actually people are still coming to the city. There is something special about Montreal, after all. Nonetheless, it is definitely a fact that people are going west, and Vancouver is a destination of choice for many. So I spent a lot of my time, not doing a great deal, actually, sitting around and thinking, mulling, having coffee, smoking a joint, going to the beach, thinking. What are the differences? What is it? You know, why are people going west? What is it about this city, maybe? Because people did the exodus to Calgary and Edmonton, I suppose, like 15 years ago, and Toronto, I suppose, to some extent, it's still there. But I guess the West Coast is something else altogether because, of course, you've got mountains and you've got the ocean. So there are lots of beaches and there's a big park and, you know, there's kind of this nature thing. And, of course, you can see the mountains on a clear day. But, all right, in any case, some of the things that I observe just as kind of... differences, I suppose. I stayed in the West End, and that is apparently one of the most densely populated area in Canada, and some people I met even suggested North America. There are high-rises galore, and that I never really got used to, just as an aesthetic. I suppose it was just kind of odd that so many people were living in so many high-rises. And it's just quite a cluster there. And of course, everybody wants to live in the West End because it's near Stanley Park and it's near all the beaches. And I can see why people want to live there. Nonetheless, it does change the character of a particular neighborhood when you've got high rises and very few old houses. And old isn't even that old, but nonetheless, there's a few of these heritage houses. Some of them are protected. There's a plaque on the house that says Heritage House. I don't know who gets to live in the Heritage Houses, but they're nice. But other houses are just being torn down so they can put up a condo and stuff thousands of people in there. Some people have very nice apartments. I did have a look at different places, but I happened to... My particular experience was with people who lived, generally speaking, in smallish places, like one-room apartments. And... you know, the rents are expensive, so $500-$600 for a one-room apartment with a balcony. Depending on if you had a view, I guess, somewhere between $500 and $600, depending on what you were looking out over. Karaoke is really big out there. It's not so big here in Montreal, so for those who don't know, karaoke is the Japanese art of going into a bar with a karaoke machine that plays songs without the lyrics so that you can then sing along to the song. Every Sunday night at a particular bar on Denman Street, karaoke night. Now, not only did people get up and do the karaoke thing to a song, but there was also a video playing behind them. Usually pretty schmaltzy, even though I was in a gay bar where this was happening, but they're pretty schmaltzy kind of videos. And I ran into Maureen Bradley, who some of you may remember. She's from Montreal, and she was the woman who was on CBC's Road Movies last year. And she's been on the show a few times. She's out there now, doing her video thing. And she's got a job editing karaoke videos for some commercial outfit. So essentially, they give her a whole pile of footage. She's got to edit it to, say, Anne-Marie's Songbird. And, you know, so she just whips out the videos, churns out the videos, and there they play while people sing karaoke. Now, let's see. French versus English influence. That is sort of the underlying thing, I suppose, between Quebec. Now, I've heard this before, of course, and here in Quebec, obviously, there's a big French influence. And over in British Columbia, there's quite a big English influence. So... I guess just as a basis, there are some fundamental differences just on that, some subtle and some more overt. And I just found that there were a lot of rules and regulations. Rules for crossing the street, and rules for riding your bike, and rules for getting off your bike and walking your bike, and rollerblading, and being on the beach at a certain time, and lots of rules around. I mean, and it is quite organized, and people do follow the rules. This is a remarkable thing. People follow the rules, and I guess everywhere in Canada, but here you get to a curb and the cars stop for you. Now, personally, I found this really hard, and it sort of freaked me out a bit, so that I started only crossing at lights and stuff, because I didn't really want them to stop for me. I found it a bit of an odd thing. I didn't really trust them. I didn't really believe that they would stop somehow. There's lots of money. There's lots of money everywhere. Just in terms of beachfront property, say, you know, the view thing. Again, there's lots of condos that are pretty off-limits, really, to, you know, people who haven't got the bucks to live there. And there was a rumor circulating about this condo situated on English Bay on the beach. There's a tree at the top of this condo, and apparently there's a pool around that tree. Now, I heard a couple of rumors about who owned that condo. One group of people figured it was Axl Rose. They had heard it was Axl Rose who owned that condo, and somebody else believed that it was Leonard Nimoy. So, I don't know who lives there. There was also a rumor regarding another condo sort of near the Sunset Beach area, where a Japanese businessman had purchased two floors of the condo for $6 million. Rumors. Coffee is another thing. People sort of do coffee constantly. I found that I was having a coffee and going to meet somebody else to have another coffee, and then we take a coffee to the beach, say, and I don't drink that much coffee as a rule, so I just put lots of cream and sugar in it and kind of went with the flow, but there you go. The weather, let's see, the weather was pretty good. It was sunny a lot. And when the sun's out, it's hot. And then when a cloud covers it, the temperature drops like 7 degrees. So you need a sweater on you all the time. And my analogy for this is that here in Montreal, we tend to go from winter to summer. We don't have much of a spring, actually. Whereas there, it's more of a spring-autumn transition. You know, one day is a really nice spring day, and the next day is a shitty old autumn day. Yeah. Friendly or polite? This is the thing. Now, people had said to me, well, Vancouver people are pretty friendly. They're really friendly on the West Coast. And I started to wonder about that, because I thought, I don't know, they're more polite than friendly somehow, because I found, and again, you know, I'll qualify it and I'll locate myself. This was my experience. This was my perspective. But some of the people that I met were polite in that we were introduced and that was all very well and good, but then they didn't really want to talk to me about anything, and in fact they had their own dramas to talk about, and so that's where they were at. And I didn't find anybody really wanted to know anything about me, which was fine because I didn't feel like talking much anyway, but still. Cool. They say cool an awful lot, and there was a couple of different inflections. The younger dyke crowd seemed to say it like cool a lot, and then there were other people who were just more on the cool, that's really cool, yeah. And anyways, it brought to mind the people here that I know from Vancouver who say that a lot, and now I know. I did go to the East End, of course. I do know a couple of people there, and I went to check out the East End, the Commercial Drive area, and the health food store, and that was pretty quintessential West Coast, I thought to myself, as I went into a health food store. On one side, there were the Many Moons washable menstrual pads in a box, and they had like a tartan carrying case and a polka dot wand, different patterns. You had a section for the used menstrual pads and a section for the new ones, and it was all very ecologically sound. And I wanted to buy a bar of soap in the store, just one bar of soap, but I couldn't get through the checkout counter because they were so busy chatting about this, that, and the other thing that I finally put the soap away and left. And a can of maple syrup was $8.25. Let's see, I went to the Lotus Bar? I don't know. It was a bar. I did meet a woman. Her name was Alex, and she is a member of the Romanov family. You may recall that last year they found the bones of Nicholas the Tsar and his family in Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution. They killed the royal family. And she is a descendant of the Romanovs, which I thought was pretty interesting. Her grandfather was the nephew of Tsar Nicholas. And so, let's see, she's also related to the royal family in England. And then there's that whole, you know, okay, the genetic, the gay thing. gay lesbian genetic thing. So we know for sure that we've got a woman named Alex who's a lesbian, who's of the nobility. And then we've got, well, Edward, I suppose. I don't know him personally, but apparently he's got a girlfriend, which would be a good cover. Radio Co-op. I went to a Radio Co-op fundraising do, and was interviewed and did a little blurb for them. They weren't really doing all that well, and I guess at this point I'd like to take the opportunity to thank, once again, everybody who does listen to this show and who enjoys it and who gives us feedback, and yeah, that's it. I just felt that while I was there. You know, they weren't really getting all that much support, and the phones weren't ringing, and it just seemed to be kind of a drag. Okay, that's just about it, except for the exercise thing. I just wanted to say, power walking is a really big deal. A lot of people I saw didn't seem to, like, just stroll, walk, have a look at things. They were power walking. One woman even had, like, weights in her knapsack, head down, and just arms moving, power walking. They're not looking at the view. They're not looking at anything. They're just power walking. All right. I've got a Helen's pickup tip. I stayed with Helen when I was in Vancouver, and Helen, for those of you who've been listening for a little while, 2 years ago we did Helen's pickup tips with some regularity, and then Helen moved, and that was the end of Helen's pickup tips. So she gave me a pickup tip that relates to Vancouver. Okay, so here it is. Helen's just moved to Vancouver. She flew to Calgary, took a bus through the Rockies, arrived at the bus station in Vancouver with her bag. Not sure what she wanted to do, but she sure did want to meet some dykes. She wanted to meet some gals. She put her bag in the locker at the bus station and then wandered down into what she had heard was a gay area of Vancouver. She picked up an Angles magazine and started looking through the listings as to where she might meet some gals who, you know, not a relationship thing, just sex maybe would be fun. She noticed a group called Sex Addicts Anonymous. And she thought to herself, well, what would that be like? She headed down to the meeting a few nights later, spotted a cutie, and handed her a little card with her phone number on, and she said, call me when you fall off the wagon. Now, Helen thought that was pretty funny, and I just thought I'd pass that on. And I guess that just, to end off this little thing here, there's lots of groups in Vancouver. They do the group thing. Lesbian Sex Addicts Anonymous have a group, you know, a support group, where they can go talk about being addicted to sex and stuff. Okay, that's it for me. We're going to go to musical break, and Miriam's going to come on with a couple of gals who are performing tomorrow night at Le Boudoir.
One. Oh, it's so funny to be seeing you after so long, girl. From the way you look, I understand that you were not impressed. But I heard you let that little friend of mine take off your party dress. I'm not gonna get too sentimental like those other sticky valentines. Cause I don't know if you were loving somebody, I only know it isn't mine. Allison, I know this world is killing. Somebody better put up a big light.
Diversité and CKUT invite all dykes into the boudoir Tuesday, May 31st, 8 p.m. at Lion d'Or.
An elegant evening of performances in sultry splendor.
Rants.
Rap.
Blues.
Performance art.
Tango.
DJ Zab and Carolyn.
Dare to be the belle of the ball.
The Lion d'Or is located at 1676 Ontario East. For more information, call 285-4011.
Don't forget, reserve your gown or tux soon.
Hi, this is Miriam, and I'm one of the co-organizers of Le Boudoir, of which you just heard a cart. There's going to be performances starting at 9, and I've got two guests with me in the studio who have come all the way from Toronto to perform at Le Boudoir. But before I introduce them, we'd just like to say we've got a ticket giveaway. One pair of tickets to Le Boudoir goes to the fourth caller at which number?
398-4616.
So dial the phones and just leave your name and we'll have it at the door. So... Okay. I was in the other booth a little while ago, and I just saw that it's supposed to shower tomorrow, and I really hope that doesn't deter anybody from coming. It's going to be real cozy. It's the event is taking place at the Lion d'Or, which is an original cabaret hall from the 1930s, and it is beautiful, lush, really, really sexy. So dress up and come out, despite the weather, even if it's bad. And don't forget to dress up as well. Today, Christy and I, one of the guests, went to Eva B and spent 2 hours trying on ball gowns. We found some really great gowns and some shiny shoes. It's really cheap there, so go there if you want. If you don't have an outfit picked out yet. It's on Saint-Laurent, just at the corner, or just north of Ontario Street. So, the guests I have with me are Bink Dally Rue and Christy Cameron. Bink Dally Rue is going to do some blues songs, and Christy's going to do, well, we don't know what to call it just yet. So I'm going to ask Bink a few questions first and say a little bit about her. She's from Toronto, and she is the former singer of a band called Black Betty. How long ago did you guys disband, and how long were you together?
We broke up about 2.5 years ago, and we were together in total, with a few breaks in between, probably about 10 years, but not under the same name.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to play a track from Black Betty a little bit later on. After Black Betty, you were involved in a project with your current lover at the time called Snagglepuss, a duet. How far did that go? How long were you together?
It didn't go anywhere beyond our living room. It was a lot of recording at home, and we wrote some good songs, but unfortunately our close friends are the only ones who ever heard them, and that's about as far as it got, because it was Splitsville after that. Mm-hmm. So
right now you're trying to form an all-girl group in Toronto, and Christy's told me a little bit about, well, you have too, about the trouble you've had finding appropriate
girls,
musicians.
The ones that are appropriate are probably already busy, and anybody else I'm not too sure of. Like, I guess I haven't.
There's that band that you terrified when you went to the audition for them.
Oh, yeah, the rocker chicks with the... That thought I was, I don't know, too...
Dykey? Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
So, have you worked solo before?
Never.
Bink's going to be singing solo, just her and her guitar, and she's going to do a few blues covers. Is it more frightening than playing with
Terrifying.
A band? Oh, yeah?
Well, with a band, you know, they can cover up all your mistakes when you're by yourself. Everybody's going to hear it.
Oh, well, I'm sure there won't be any mistakes.
No, I've worked out a way of fitting the mistakes in so they sound like they're supposed to be there.
So you're going to be doing some interesting cover songs, but yeah. Did you choose to do covers because of a time constraint, like not enough time to write material or no appropriate material, or where did that choice come from? Because your other bands were original material.
Yeah, right? The other bands were original material, but I just don't think I could do any of those songs by myself. They were too complicated. Yeah. You know, it wouldn't come off with just a guitar and a singer, so the kind of thing I wanted to do would be more kind of scary, dark, simple, quiet.
Right. Have you written any songs since Snagglepuss disbanded?
I've got a few.
You have?
Remnants of beginnings and endings of.
Oh, not a whole song?
Not whole songs, just bits of nothing.
Do you feel less vulnerable playing covers? Is that
yeah.
part of it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I guess now we can, we'll move on and we'll have a little musical break. We're going to play Lion's Share, which was from, is it the only tape that Black Betty recorded?
Yeah, it was our only demo tape that we recorded in, I think, 1988. So it's a slightly outdated.
It's an 80s song.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, let's go for it.
Just a phrase to throw around. You know what I mean. Listen to sounds from the underground.
Monday night from 8 o'clock. We'll do ours, Montreal's best. And France will make it ours. All of bands, all of them. Listening religiously. All of news and gossip through CKUT.
Hi. We're back on the air.
And we're fighting.
So we heard Lion's Share by Black Betty, Bink's old band. Bink, you're the only woman in that band?
Yep.
Were you the only queer person in the band, too?
Well, they were all sort of queer, but I was the only...
the only out queer?
No, yes, I was the only queer.
So what was it like? Was it okay working with men? Did you get
along? Oh, yeah. That's cool. Great.
So why do you want to do a girl band now?
Just because, I don't know, the kind of music I want to do. I'm not even that determined mm-hmm. on just girls, but I want to try and see if I can start
mm-hmm.
something with girls. And if I can't, then, you know, I'll settle for guys.
Yeah. Just like with sex, I think. So tell me a bit about your creative process. Did you write Lion's Share? Did you co-write it?
We had, like, a real... democracy. Mm-hmm. Everybody put in their bit. Like, someone would show up with a part idea of a song, and we'd all work on it together, which worked really well because I couldn't ever do it all by myself. Mm-hmm. And so, that
do
was
you go?
Good.
Do you tend to work with lyrics or with music? Or?
Usually, I sort of not lyrics, but I sort of make up the singing mm-hmm. without the words.
Like the tune.
Melody or whatever before the words. But then I find a lot of times the words kind of just start happening as
you
I'm doing
that. You just find words that fit the tune.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, yeah.
That's great. So, time for our other guest, Christy Cameron, ancient friend of mine. I used to know Christy at the end of my last year of high school when she was an Ontario champion debater.
Oh, fuck me.
So tell me, how did you evolve into this, let's see, what do we call it? Performance art, monologuing, writing, theater of the mind.
Theater of the mind, theater of the absurd. Yeah, we don't have a name for it. I don't even have a stage name yet.
Well, you wrote a Christy Blister over there on the wall.
Well, we're trying new things all the time. But I don't know, how did I come to do this? Well, I grew up in a family that... let's talk about fucking names, eh? My friends have named me in one in Pornorama. My best friend, Nairn, wrote a pseudonym, Tiny Butt. Okay, and then another friend of mine in Toronto in another thing for Strange Sisters, Buddies and Bad Times production, sent fact in the name Buster. So I've been having really bad luck with names. So I don't know, maybe Christy Blister, Christy Cameron. I don't know, the way I got into it, I grew up in a totally arch-wasp family, and you could be a teacher, a doctor, or a lawyer. I dropped out of university 4 times, so I couldn't be a teacher, a doctor, or a lawyer. So I went on welfare, fucked up on drugs, stayed that way for a really long time, realized I wasn't having that much fun, and so decided, you know, I might as well pedal my ass in more positive ways.
Yeah, so what brought you out of your rut, exactly?
Getting clean, sort of clean, mm-hmm. like, off of that shit, started. And also, I just saw so many of my friends actually making things happen around me without... the idea that it had to be perfect in Young People's Theatre or Shakespeare or Stratford Festival kind of level. Like, I really wasn't even aware that there was these kind of underground subversive theater things and mm-hmm. just happenings kind of going on, especially in Toronto, the queer community. Buddies in Bad Times with Sky Gilbert and company are amazingly supportive of new people, and they want new artists all the time, and they're willing to, like, mm-hmm. and believe you're an artist, even if you don't believe it yourself. Like, I've been going around saying I'm really a kind of faux artist. Is that okay in there? Like, going, yeah. So that was a really big change for me. Like, it really changed my mental attitude.
Well, if we can find a name for what you do, maybe that'll validate it even
more.
Well,
maybe after tomorrow night, eh?
Yeah. I think monologist is good, except it just sounds like monotonous or something. Do you think, what takes precedence, the performance aspect or the actual writing?
Well, I don't know, because I've only performed once in somebody else's work and I hated it. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the writing, and I didn't like the performance either.
Well, performing, but you perform when you read as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, and mm-hmm. All of the writing I've done, it's very little bit of writing I've done, has all been geared to oral and speaking and performance, and I think that's why I started doing it, because I so desperately wanted, I guess, to get on stage and to do something live, and I didn't know anybody who would let me do their work, so I kind of had to write something myself. And then once I started doing that, I guess I kind of liked some of the things I came up with, the little things, mm-hmm. and it went from there, and now
But you called your product something really funny earlier on. What was it? Something hiccup?
Oh, the way I do. Yeah, it's just like these creative burps. I'm okay. Just accidentally have a pen in my hand writing down somebody's phone number, and suddenly there's a little story tripping out, and I really don't know why or how or where it comes from. I was saying I was so envious of people like Alice Walker, who say they live with the characters in their heads for years, and they know them and sleep with them and eat with them, and like that just does not happen for me.
No, you know? You don't ever rewrite either.
I haven't ever rewritten. No. I don't know how to edit my own work. It just, whatever comes out, that's what I show people. But at the same time, I'm sort of madly in love with half my characters, you know. Maybe they're all just women I want to fuck or be or something.
So the two pieces you're going to do at Le Boudoir are Mercy.
Mercy, and the other one's called Anatomy of a New Fuck.
And when did you write those?
I wrote one of them about, what, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, and the other one I wrote about around the same time, so not quite a year ago.
And you brought your very first short story with you.
God.
That you didn't know it was going to be a short story.
No.
It was just another creative burp.
Yeah.
But it turned out, what makes it less of a monologue?
Well, simply that it, I guess, is more a stronger narrative. Yeah. It's a more linear. It's and it's not fictional, but it's more of a story. It simply has that structure, and the characters sort of interact with one another, but not with an audience.
Is this the most recent thing that you've written?
Yeah.
And I'd like Christy to read it. It's going to be, it's about 5 minutes long, and are you ready to do that now?
Sure.
Okay. Tell us what it's called.
All right. It's called A Bag of Old Donuts. I hate donuts, even the ones with the sprinkles colored like her eyeshadows. Ugh. And the stale beige dough the color of her pancake makeup that can never quite cover the leftover marks, the mistakes, the greed of their gripping, slipping hands. She tries to hide from herself as much as from the next customer. And even the once fresh coffee is now exhausted at 3 a.m. Humanity, huddled around their cooling cups, seems shrunken, afraid of losing what little warmth is left in their cooling bodies. I sit here. Because she has the shimmiest slit I ever saw glitter. She's glaringly garish and as hard as the cement on the Queen Street Strip. I mean, 9 out of 10 tricks fall in love with that whole first sight. Definitely the kind of girl Mama said, don't ever bring home. But then she was talking to my big brother, not me. Mama didn't live long enough for me to bring no girl home. Seems like I've always been drawn to whores. They're like the drag queens of straights, calling themselves the bottom line and knowing their yams are the lowest, sweetest, hard-baked, no turning back last recourse, if you know what I mean. And I swear the whores are the worst ones for making distinctions. Call girl, stripper, escort, dom, date, friend, phone mate. I figure you work the trade, whether as a driver or driven. You sure ain't giving it away. One way or another, you're charging, and that makes you a whore. In fact, it sort of makes us all whores. Don't get me wrong, I know the street. I know the streets are ruthless, and only certain ones can survive it. I respect that. I respect whores. I know it ain't easy money. Nothing easy about being 4 months pregnant on crack on a corner. I know what makes the work taste bad in the back of your throat. It ain't cocks coming. It's the way the mealy-mouthed bastards talk at you, look through you. They know no one thinks of whores as human. What's hard about the money is the constant effort to maintain any dignity, to remember your own humanity when they wipe their floor shams on your face, making your eyes gritty and your mind slam shut like a steel trap letting nothing in but dollars and nonsense. It's a killing trade. Oh, but she does it so well. Ms. Candy Crass, she's what I want, what I need. I swear I can make her taste sweet again. Her candy shell is gonna melt in my mouth one day. You know, there's a fairy tale of a princess whose heart was stolen when she was a babe and didn't know its worth. Heartless, she lived every day, drinking all the time from an empty cup, unable to understand her thirst, until one day a pauper prince quested true for her heart so she could love him the way he loved her. Well, that's me. I'm Candy's prince, and I quest through all these cold, bitter nights that are using us both up. At least every night I'm not working graveyard at the factory. Sometimes the only way I can keep sticking the parts together is to imagine I'm driving red-hot rivets into the eyes of all the Johns that have hurt Candy and her kind. On those days when my rage spills, my knuckles bleed on the assembly line, and my head aches so hard, I wonder if the unimaginable end product, I mean there must be one somewhere, will be fucking cursed because I hate so well. So powerfully, born to hate, you might say, the night Daddy raped Mummy. Now come on, I'm no naive Sally Anner out to save Candy Crass's soul. I'm just another greedy monster who wants her for myself. Her love will be my salvation, will bring me back from the brink of hell, which this black hate, my hate, drags me to when my defenses tire. Life is simple, really, and hope, however simple-minded, is the only real sustenance we've got, so I hope Candy will save me yet. So I sit here in the Donut Castle, and the exiled princess begs alms for sex in the doorway of the Catholic Archdiocese across the street, not knowing the bishops ensured her gender slavery ages ago. And tonight, well, tonight, the 12th century children's crusade doesn't seem so long ago or far away. Once again, the streets teem with lost and unwanted children, and who knows, who sees the invisible ship being outfitted by the pimps and the pushers to take the children to a faraway land where death waits, dressed like daddy with a prick of iron and HIV in his cum. All the scurvy little ones who survived the journey with their mouths open in question and their screams drowned in jism.